There are just two reasons to buy a Macintosh personal computer instead of a PC. One, Macintosh does more. Two, Macintosh costs less. Which really makes your choice quite simple.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Efren Elijah. Joining me today, if sorting through the trash cans of his favorite Coldplay band members is wrong, he doesn't want to be right. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, Efren. Thanks for another Coldplay joke. They never get old.
Also joining us, every time he leaves the Phoenix area, the temperature drops 15 degrees. Buster Kine is here.
Hey, man.
Sexy.
I'm actually doing this podcast shirtless today.
Are you?
It's just so damn hot, you know.
it's just so hot. Do you have a big tall glass of cold milk there to cool you off?
Just the water. Yeah, but it works.
Oh, missed opportunity. Well, don't melt your microphone. We're gonna need you for the whole show. What a show we have planned for you guys today. We're gonna deconstruct everything that happened at the Loop You In event. And I was gonna say there's a lot to talk about from the event. I guess there is, but I was expecting a lot more.
What and more?
If you can imagine someone sitting on an overinflated whoopee cushion, that's what I sounded like when we got to the end of that 1 hour long keynote. Kind of short. They're normally an hour and a half. Short. Am I totally off on that?
No, yeah, it usually is like an hour and a half. Hour and 15 minutes is short, but they only talked about products for half of it.
Good point. I can't remember the last time they had a 60-minute keynote. Leander, can you remember?
Not off the top of my head.
I mean, it must have been when Steve Jobs was still doing the keynotes and doing the the DVD burning on like the new Macs. He's like, hey, watch me burn this DVD, or check out this stationery we've built into Mail. I'm going to send an email.
Yeah,
that's actually kind of what this keynote reminded me of.
What, postcards? What were they, postcards?
Yeah, right. I'm like, any minute, Tim Cook is going to do a demo of like the new stationery in Mail and work on that.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
For right. 20 minutes. while he sits there and Fred burns the DVD. No, we actually got some cool products. So we'll be talking all about that. We're going to run through everything. Before we jump into the fun, though, let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper mattresses are obsessively engineered, American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. And now you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/cultcast and using code cultcast when you make your purchase. Let me tell you why people love their Casper mattresses. They bring together two comfy technologies for a better night's sleep. That's latex foam, memory foam. They've got just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. So you'll love sleeping in them. You'll love jumping in them. You'll love making sweet, sweet love in them. And they actually promote you get the mattress, try the mattress yourself. You can order one and use it for 100 nights free. And do all the things I just described. Get weird. Do whatever you want in this mattress. And for 100 nights, you get to try it out, decide if it's for you. And if you decide, you know what? The amount of bounce is just not right for my lovemaking style. I need something with just a slight amount of bounce more. Or, you know, you don't like it. That's okay. They'll pick it up for free and refund all your money. So it's 100% risk-free. I don't know of anyone else that does that. And if you check out Casper mattresses online, you'll see the reviews are excellent. Everyone loves their Casper mattress. Search Amazon. You can check out casper.com/cultcast. They have reviews there as well. You can get a king-size mattress for just $950. That's about half the price of other memory foam mattresses. And that's because Casper ships it right to your door for free. There's no middlemen. Check it out yourself. casper.com/cultcast. Remember to use the code Cultcast at checkout for $50 towards any mattress purchase. Thanks, Casper, for supporting this episode. Okay, Buster.
Yo.
Shall we start with new ultra-thin MacBook Pros? Or MacBooks, sorry.
Yeah.
Arriving in June, although I think they're going to be MacBook Pros. Would you disagree?
Well, the report was like really unclear because it just said 13 and 15 inch MacBooks. And it said that they would be thinner than the current MacBook Air, which comes in, 11 and 13 inch. So maybe, it is the new MacBook Pros. But, I mean, are they really going to be slimmer than the MacBook Air is right now? That would be crazy.
Well, that would be the drastic redesign that I have been talking about, that my sources have been informing me on the last 6 months. So this report comes from DigiTimes, and as Buster said, they didn't say whether or not these were going to be MacBook Pros or MacBooks, but I was just seeing a report, I think this is from 9to5Mac, about a new 12-inch MacBook model showing up in Apple System Image Utility. So if they're going to be releasing a 2016 update to the 12-inch MacBook, and this rumor ends up being true about the 13 and 15-inch, why would they release a 13-inch MacBook and a 15-inch MacBook to sell alongside the 12-inch MacBook? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? It would have
look
to
at
be...
the, look at the iPad lineup. Well, yeah, you know, there's the iPad Mini 4, the iPad Mini 2, the iPad Air, the iPad Air 2, the iPad Pro, the iPad Pro 9-inch, 12-inch. You know, I mean, like, it's they're starting to chuck all kinds of models out, right?
I guess that's true.
Keeping the old ones around.
What's the screen size of the Mini?
The Mini iPad is iPad? It 7.9?
Yeah, the Mini iPad, sorry. It's what, 7.9?
I think so.
Okay. So let's just say, we should know this, but... I should edit in the actual number. It's 8.2. So they have three different sizes of the iPad. But with the MacBook, it would be really strange to have the sizes of the screen be so close together, Leander, like a 12 and a 13. Like, yeah. I could see them doing an 11 and a 13 and a 15, but a 12 and a 13 are kind of too close together.
Yeah, there's no...
Which leads me to believe that these are going to be MacBook Pros, and if this rumor is true, we're going to be seeing drastically slimmer MacBook Pros.
Well, how slim can you get it, though? Because it's going to have a hard drive, right?
They're not going to... It'll have an SSD instead of a hard drive.
I don't think they'll do that. I think it would just be like the little modules. Like, the modules they use now are soldered into the motherboard, and they don't even look like hard drives at all. In fact, they look like memory modules. And so they can make them super thin. I guess for me, my question would be, I wonder if this is going to mean they're going to leave out any ports.
Yeah, on the, maybe it'll just be one USB-C port.
Dude, no!
Two USB-C ports.
Oh, yeah, just, right. It's the MacBook Pro.
But it's okay. We got lots of dongles for you. It's cool.
Don't want any more freaking dongles. I hate dongles. I just want to have... It needs to have Thunderbolt. It needs to have a regular USB 3 ports or several. And I would love to have for them to have Ethernet on there. That's definitely not going to happen.
No way.
They use an adapter for that now. But I don't want to lose any access to the ports. That's going to be my big thing. And I don't want them to get any more expensive. So if this happens, it would be great to have new 13 and 15-inch MacBook Pros. And I think this report said June.
Yeah.
So or July. July.
June or July.
Sometime at the beginning of the summer, which makes sense because we're overdue for MacBooks, all of them. We're overdue for the MacBook, which launched April 10th. Man, that thing's been around for almost a year. You've had that for almost a year already, Leander.
Yeah, right.
The new MacBook?
The new MacBook launched April 10th.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, are you serious? What is it about it that you're not used to?
Oh, you know, the keyboard and it bounces around everywhere and the USB, you know, swapping it in and out. Every time I pick it up, it's never charged up. I'm like, how does this happen? It's actually, I like it. You know, like the portability is awesome. You can't beat that. And the keyboard's actually not as bad as I say. It's fine.
Well, they're all going to be getting that new keyboard. So if you don't like it, you're kind of screwed. Right. We're all going to have to start using it too. So you don't prefer that keyboard to, I guess, what you have now is your iMac, right? That's what you primarily work on?
Yeah. And I've got the Apple wireless keyboard there with the chiclet keys. So it's got a bit more trouble. I don't mind the keyboard, actually, to be honest.
Okay. But it's just the size and...
It's okay. I take all that back. I love it. I totally
you just
love it.
Never
I can't
use
believe
it?
It's been a year. Well, I don't use it as much as, I mean, I do use it, but I don't use it. It's not my full time. It's not my main machine. The iMac at work is.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then I tend to use the iPad Pro at home, you know?
Nice.
You do, really?
Yeah.
And you use it with the keyboard and stuff?
No, I lost. Tracy put it somewhere and I can't find it. I just use it with my, you know, my dainty little fingers on the screen.
Oh, you type into it like that?
Yeah, I'm using, you know, the email thing. Finally got it figured out using Readle's Spark. Mm-hmm. Love your email again. And it is. It's great. It's really nice. It's great. It's really. It's like Google Inbox without all the weird quirks.
And this is for iPad or for iOS?
Yeah, yeah. They just released it, a week or two ago.
Do they have a Mac app?
For iPad. They're working on it. It's supposed to be coming out in beta. I wrote them and asked if I could, begged and pleaded to be able to put on the beta.
Oh, I'm sure they were like, oh, we're going to have to really consider this.
They were like, yeah, I don't know.
Who did you say you wrote for again?
Right. Nine to five.
we are
Mac right. Rumors. Called it who?
I write for iCar fans or AppleCarFans.com.
Well, then we probably would have been in.
Yeah, oh, man, shoo-in for sure. Okay, so let's talk about the event, the big event, Leander. You wrote a piece about what Apple product launches say about Tim Cook's leadership, which I actually thought was really interesting because he does run a keynote much differently than Steve Jobs does, doesn't he?
Yeah. You thought it was interesting? Really? Anyway.
Your piece? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I meant the keynote. Sorry, you misunderstood me. Your piece is terrible. The keynote was interesting.
Yeah, gotcha.
No, but you brought up some good points.
Well, it was pretty striking, right? Because the first half hour was given over to all of these issues that Jobs never really discussed when he was around. I think he touched on them. But, you know, the first thing out of his mouth is about the FBI and we're going to protect your privacy and addressing that, which really wasn't. Some people expressed surprise at that, but I don't think they should have been surprised. I mean, you know, they've been Apple. This has been front and center for Apple for quite a few weeks now. So I don't think it was a surprise that he was going to say something about it. I wish he'd been a bit stronger, you know, because you know, the issue isn't just about privacy, because I don't think people really get that, right? They don't really have much sympathy in something like a terrorist case, you know, for protecting your email, you know, from the government or whatever. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's not just about privacy. It's about the security of the device when you're doing things like banking and health and commerce.
Right.
You know, and all kinds, you know, like, it has to be private or it won't work.
Yeah.
And it has to be private from everybody. I don't think he made that case super strong. In fact, it was Jeff Williams afterwards when he was talking about CareKit and ResearchKit, you know, and talking about, you know, this raft of health apps that are going to be coming. You know, it is going to be super important to protect that kind of data. You can't have a backdoor. Anyway, so, but they, you know, then he put on Lisa Jackson, a woman of color, who's pretty rare in Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. How many other women of color do you see? She talked about the environment and about recycling. Showed off Liam, this robot that disassembles iPhones for their components, and talked about how they're going to harvest different valuable materials from the phone. It didn't look like they were going to, it looked kind of, I don't know, it looked like there was still going to be a lot of waste.
I'm sure there probably still will be a ton of waste.
Yeah, it wasn't 100% clear. Yeah. You know, they were going to get the rare metals out of it.
Because in my mind, like when I think about people recycling iPhones, it's like it goes to some Mad Maxian factory in India or something, right? And there's people pulling these things apart with their hands, and they're like covered in like grime and grease and
right and toxic chemicals.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So when they show like this robot, I was thinking to myself, this is actually pretty cool that they've built this robot that goes through and deconstructs this entire thing. I mean, what happens with those parts afterwards, we don't know, but at least they're making what seems to be a pretty strong effort to at least reuse as much of these components as they can so they don't end up in a landfill somewhere.
Right. So, yeah. And, you know, when you say landfill and when you say a factory in India, I think usually what they do is it goes in a field and they set fire to, you know, like, have you seen those horrific pictures of,
no.
You know, these waste garbage sites.
So it is like Mad Max.
Yeah. It's even worse than that. It's like, you know, disassembly process to set fire to it, you know, and then it burns off all the plastic in a nasty black choking cloud of toxic smoke. And then, you know, what's left is what's harvested. Yeah, you know, it's definitely something. You know what I found out that I just discovered recently? You know, like, so this is like Gazelle and our own, like, buyback service that promises to recycle your old devices.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. I talked to Gabe Trumbo, the guy that runs it, our service. And, you know, guess where most of these devices go?
I'm going to guess India.
No. Well, actually, they don't. They're sold domestically on eBay and Amazon.
No, really?
There's such a huge market for... you know, for secondhand devices that, you know, they fix up the broken ones. If there's a broken screen or if it's, you know, if it's got a ding in it, they'll fix that. And then they sell it here domestically.
Wow.
And I think this is what Apple was talking about. They're going to be selling used devices in India. And this is why they, you know, their buyback program, I think they get into in big time. But it's funny. I mean, the devices have a lot longer life than, and she sort of hinted at this in the thing, but they have a lot longer life. Then you know, they have a second or third life, I think, after, you know, the first owner.
I sold a busted iPad. It was an iPad 4, and it wouldn't power on. I sold it on eBay for $102 for a broken iPad, and the guy was thrilled. He bought it, and who knows what he did with it? He probably used it to fix other iPads. He probably uses it for parts.
Right. Oh,
but the fact that you can sell a broken one for $100. I mean, yeah. The iPad is what, like 3 or 4 years old now.
Right.
And it's still worth $100 broken. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're well made, and they do. And Apple's always been proud, isn't it, of the durability of its devices, and they've always had a lot longer shelf life than competing manufacturers. So yeah, it's. I was surprised about that. You know, I like Gazelle. I thought, oh yeah, it's a Gazelle. It's gonna get broken down. You know, in some horrific recycling factory, but no, a lot of them are put to use again and resold, which I think is great. I mean, it's great, isn't it, that these things, you know,
absolutely,
stick around for longer than it's kind of shameful that, you know, you have something for a year, right? And it's crazy because the amount of technology is astounding, and I'm really glad to see that they have longer.
And after a year, we just were disgusted with it. We just throw it away.
Well, we are.
Yeah, right. Specifically you guys.
Yeah, but it's cool. I was cool, though. The first half of that show, you know, I mean, I know everyone was yawning, right? I could hear people, like, hating it. All right, come on, get on with it.
Literally hear people yawning. Some guy in the back. Stretching.
Right, I know. And all the people in the stream, too, you know, like, all right, come on. You know, where's the new iPhone? Where's the new iPad?
Yeah,
they just want to get the products. But this definitely shows, like, you know, that this, and Tim Cook at the end, he said it explicitly, like, this is the stuff that engages us. And I went to see him at a talk. He gave a rare talk at a conference by Box, and he was talking about climate change and how Apple is, you know, approaching 100% renewable energy. And he was saying in China, I can't remember the number he gave, but, you know, China seemed like a big challenge because, you know, it's mostly coal fired, right? Mm-hmm. The grid there. But he said that they're nearly 100% in the U.S. and they're hoping to become 100% in overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really surprised. Like, she said 93%, I think.
I was surprised too,
which is really high. And of course, I think that, you know, they must be using carbon credits and, you know, getting credit for the solar power operations. You know, checking that against, like, they don't have solar panels on the roof of every store and every factory for sure.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure they're making these calculations where, you know, they're generating more electricity from some renewable source and trading that for stuff that's coming from a non-renewable source. But, you know, and he was saying at this Box conference that he wanted Apple's competitors to copy Apple in this area in particular. They would be delighted to be copied by this. And he was saying, especially when there's so much inaction from governments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is such an important issue that they're glad to take a leadership role in this. And you know, I mean, when you're watching Cook and Jackson and they're talking about Chinese yaks and saving the yak, right? and the packaging.
That was one of the best parts of the keynotes, though, when they showed that yak. Yeah. Well, talking about unexpected, it's like, oh, all of a sudden there's a yak.
A hairy yak, right?
A hairy yak, like, grinning into the camera.
And it didn't look. And it, how do they? Are they supposed to be going underneath the solar panels or something?
I don't know, man. But that yak had an incredible hairdo. That thing was like long and wispy. Like it was clearly very healthy.
Didn't it remind you of Donald Trump?
It looked like the Kevin Bacon of yaks. It just had like a glorious coiffed hairdo. Just comes to it naturally. But yeah. It looked so happy there. And you know, to your point, a lot of people were saying that was boring. I thought it was kind of boring too. And clearly, I think that Apple didn't really have a lot of product to show, so they had to fill it with something. I definitely think that was a major part.
I don't think
of
it was filling, though. I think because they devoted so much time to it, it was definitely, you know, like I think he wants to talk about this stuff. It's, you know, it's like it's his pulpit, right? It's his bully box. He wants people to tell people what they're doing.
I mean, I agree with you, but if they had more products to show, the keynote would have gone longer than an hour, which we were saying never goes an hour.
Stretch it out with more, you know, mind-numbing detail about postcards or something.
About the sales of their apps.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, even though it wasn't about product, and I was coming into it pretty cynical, I was like, oh, great, here we go. You know, like, they're going to talk about their environmentalism and stuff, and this stuff's cool, but not for a keynote. But I have to say, they did make it very interesting. And by the end of the 30 minutes, I actually really appreciated that they spent that time talking about the Yak, especially. But the solar panels and how they were powering, you know, Apple basically with renewable energy and doing their best to recycle the components of their phones, I think it kind of gives you the warm and fuzzies when you buy their products and you know that they're making all these efforts in all these different ways. And applying that Apple spirit to be innovative, even in those areas, it's like they're not just innovative about the products, like they're innovative about how they recycle their products.
Right. Yeah,
and they're building freaking robots to disassemble.
I know for a fact they've been doing this for a long time. Like they've been they're designed to be not necessarily recycled but repaired. You know, the repair was definitely in their mind. And this is the first I'd heard about them, you know, being designed to be recycled. But I know it's a big movement in the design industry. And I forgot the name for the term, but you know, a lot of other, like Nike, isn't Nike moving towards this? They're trying to, there's a big push to try to make a closed system so that they're not using any new raw materials.
Wow, that would be amazing.
Right. And it's definitely a big push. And there's a name for it, Cradle to the Grave or something, but it's the design version of that.
Oh, well, I mean, a company, if they're not going to take care of their own waste, no one else is going to do it. There doesn't seem to be a lot of motive in recycling shoes, right? And so if Nike's not going to do it, who will? So I think it's really cool that they're taking responsibility to have, as you said, kind of that complete ecosystem where they sell you the product and then they take the product back at a certain point.
Well, right, yeah. If you read about what's going on with global change, it's so terrifying. Well, global climate change. They're talking they're talking about 20 or 30 foot rise in sea levels in not within hundreds of years, in decades. You know, which is sort of almost within my lifetime.
Time to move to Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, and it's going to wipe out all of the world, all the world's coastal cities. I don't know. You know, I mean, it could be alarmist.
Well, it could be, but regardless of what ends up happening with, you know, like sea levels rising 200 feet, it's just cool to see them being a good steward. I mean, there's no reason to pollute if you don't need to, right?
Right, exactly. And it's a much smarter, much better way to do things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you know, with power and with goods. And of course, it's kind of a little bit of an eye roll because you're like, you know, yeah, come on. It's like ExxonMobil, you know, trying to pretend they're green, right? The oil companies.
Yeah.
These guys are making millions and hundreds of millions of devices, shipping them all over the world. And there wouldn't be, you know, environmental problems if we weren't in this kind of like economy where we were buying devices and chucking them away after a year because it doesn't have, you know, 3D touch.
Yeah, right. No 3D touch. Throw this thing away.
Yeah.
If you're interested in watching the keynote, if you hadn't, I know watching the keynotes, I assume that most people that listen to this show probably do watch them. But if you haven't seen it, you should check out the 90-second video review on Cult-O-Mac. It's a great way to – actually, a great way to review the keynote as well. If you've already seen it, it's a great way to go through and get all the actual important tidbits. So I'll link to that in the show notes. Lander, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you got cut out. You went so silent unexpectedly. what was the name of the Cult-O-Mac service? We were going to mention this last week, I think, but this is a perfect opportunity to recycle.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. If you're getting a new SE or a new iPad, because we buy back iPads too. And yeah, it's a great service. It's at buyback.cultomac.com, and we teamed up with this outfit from Arkansas, and they were like on a couple of colleges down there, And it's a bunch of kids who just graduated from the University of Kansas. They were doing this in their dorm room while they were students. And when they graduated, you know, they've turned it into like into a startup business. And, you know, they offer like the best prices almost across the board than anybody else. Amazon, Best Buy, Gazelle. Not in 100% of cases. I got a bit of trouble because, you know, like we put up, when I put up a couple of posts, you know, people in the comments were like, oh my God, that's complete rubbish. You're lying.
Oh you man, Amazon is going to give me $5 more for this iPhone that I wiped my arse with.
Well, there was one.
You said 100% best prices.
Right, exactly. And there's one category that these guys didn't offer, which is like perfect, the perfect category. So Gazelle does that. If your device is perfect, they will offer a higher price because you know our partners don't have that highest tier, and they said because you know 90.99% of stuff that's sent to them isn't perfect, so it was pointless to even offer it. You know, nonetheless, anyways, they said they're going to start doing this, so that will be one of the options that is offered. But you know, all the other ones that I checked, like I checked a bunch of different, you know, like a 32 gigabyte iPhone 5S with a busted screen, and every other, you know, and a bunch of other different combinations. I checked about a dozen different, devices, and found that consistently, you know, we offered a higher price by quite a margin too, because they don't have the overhead. You know, they're not spending a lot of money on advertising, so they're able to sort of like pass those savings along. I think it's a really great service. You know, that you get a free box in the mail. You do it all through online, right? So you tell them what kind of device you got. They get a price quote. They ship you a box with free shipping. You ship it back to them. As soon as they get it, they pay it out. They said the whole thing takes about a week. We've not had any complaints, not had any trouble with them at all. They've been really responsive, and it looks like a really great service. So
it's a great way to do it too. If like, you're like, I don't want to mess with, I don't want to get robbed on a Craigslist sale, right? And I can vouch from personal experience. Right. It's not a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to deal with all the crazy people in your city, and you don't want to sell this thing yourself, and a lot of people just don't want to mess with it, man. They just want to get rid of their phone.
Right. Yeah.
And get some money for it, which, you know, so this is a great way to do it. What'd you say the URL was again, Leander?
Buyback.cultofmac.com.
Buyback.cultofmac.com. So you can go check that out if you've got a crummy old stained iPhone that you need to get rid of. You need to get some cash right. for phones.
And they'll take, I think, going back to fives.
Whoa,
they'll even take the iPhone 4. So the 4, the 4S, the 5, the 5C, the 5S.
Who wants
so,
a 4?
So yeah, you can trade in your iPhone 4.
Who wants a 4 anymore?
Yeah, well, there's a market for it.
Those things are doorstops now.
And hold on, I'm just doing the check-in price now. If it's 16 gigabyte iPhone 4, okay, well, let's not talk about that.
$10.
Let's go check out the S Plus.
Yeah. No one listening to this show has an iPhone 4. No one listening to this show has an iPhone 4. Like, the people who have iPhone 4s are the people who have no idea what the current iPhone even is, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
And they don't care.
They might. Be, yeah, well, these are the guys that are getting ready to trade up right now, so.
Yeah, right. Of which I don't think there's going to be a whole lot. We're going to be talking about the iPhone SE here in just a sec. But before we do that, let me say thanks to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. FreshBooks, the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. FreshBooks has recently totally redesigned their app. It's beautiful. And when I say that you can run your entire business right from your iOS device, your iPad, or your iPhone, you can. They make it so simple. And here's all the stuff that you can do with FreshBooks. I always talk about invoicing, but it does so much more. A, you can conduct business anywhere. So let's say you're on a job site, you're doing an estimate for something. You can send an invoice to that person that you're talking to right there and then, right from your iPhone, and they can pay it because now you'll be able to accept credit card and PayPal business payments. If you are a service professional of some kind, maybe you are a photographer, you are a graphic artist or something, you can track all of your work time so that you know exactly how much time you are working and you can bill your clients for that work. You also know how long your projects are taking you. You can track every expense on the spot using your iPhone's camera, so you don't need to collect paper receipts anymore. And when it comes to tax time, you'll have all of your expenses right there for your bookkeeper and accountant to generate all the reports that they need to do your taxes quickly, which is going to save you money at tax time. And you can invoice when the project is done and get paid right away with FreshBooks payments. So now you can accept credit cards online or on the spot with their new credit card reader. All this allows you to focus on what you love most, which is growing your business. I mean, you don't want to be wasting your time with all this boring drudgery of business stuff that doesn't actually help you build your business. This is just the stuff that you have to do to get paid. And FreshBooks makes it so easy that I actually pay for it every single month. And it's a phenomenal service. I recommend you check it out. Go to freshbooks.com/cultcast. Enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. You can get started with a totally free 30-day trial. That's freshbooks.com/cultcast. I want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. All right, Buster.
Yeah.
I'm going to you with this one, big boy.
Are we going to talk about iPhones? iPads?
Dude, let's talk about the iPhone SE.
Oh,
so
before, tiny.
I think last week you were on the fence. You were like, I'm either going to go with the 7 Plus or I'm going with the iPhone SE. And now that you've seen the SE, have you made up your mind on which one is right for B Shiny?
Both of them. Yeah, why not do both, right?
I mean, besides the cost, sure.
Well, I mean, I could buy a SE now and use it until the 7 Plus is revealed and then decide if I really want that. But I'm really thinking about possibly, ditching the 6S for the SE.
Right.
Why?
Well, it's smaller, so it's more convenient for like when I go on runs and hikes and just I'm all about, you know, so that's nice. I don't do a lot of reading on my phone anyway, just like Twitter and Slack and a little email and like texting and stuff. So it's not like I need a big screen for watching stuff. I have an iPad. And the battery life is like 2 hours better than the 6S.
Oh, it is. I didn't see that.
Yeah, just some early reviews have said it's a lot better. So I don't really care that 3D touch isn't there. So I don't know. It looks like a pretty good phone. And it's cheap, $399.
Dude, that's the big story here. I mean, you are getting what is essentially an iPhone 6S for if you want to do a 16 gigabyte model for $400.
Yeah, but everybody's going to go for the 64 at $499.
Yeah.
And it's great. Go yeah, it's a nice price, you know.
So which one would you do, the 32 or the 16 or the 64?
64, yeah. I mean, you can't even get by on a 16.
You really can't. I know someone that has an 8 and they can they can take like 7 pictures and then it's done.
Jeez.
Like, yeah. You're done for the week. I thought this was a really it was kind of snoozeworthy. I don't think it was exciting. I know there are people that are listening to this show who think I'm absolutely wrong and we're probably really excited by this and we're sitting there in pure ecstasy as Tim Cook talked about this. But it is a low budget phone, right? I mean, that's kind of like the audience.
But what you're saying, you just said you get a 6S inside of a 5S body. So it's not a budget phone, really. I mean, it's just as powerful as an iPhone 6S. So to me, that doesn't seem budget at all. It can shoot 4K video. The rear camera is great. I think that's another great feature on it. It just has a small screen.
It has a small screen. And the rear camera is the same as the 6S.
Yeah.
And it has a small screen. And I don't prefer small screens. So that's a pretty big trade-off for me. But also, I don't know if you guys know the answer to this. I was curious about the Touch ID. Do you know if it has like the current generation Touch ID?
It's the first generation, yeah.
Okay.
I don't get why they did that, too. Other than maybe they
save
had
money, man.
Yeah, they had a bunch of them laying around still. Yeah. So they were like, just.
They got boxes and boxes. Covering up Tim's office.
Yeah, right. The whole basement of Apple is just filled with these old Touch ID units. And Johnny's like, we got to do something with these Touch ID units. The Touch ID on that phone was not great.
No, it wasn't. It's way.
I mean, the Touch ID
on
the new ones.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's night and day, wouldn't you guys say? I mean, the new Touch ID almost never misses my thumbprint.
Yeah, annoyingly so. Like sometimes I don't want it to unlock. I just want right. to turn on the screen.
Yes, right. I've had that happen a ton too. So I've been turning on the screen with my knuckle on the button because that's or like I try to like just press like the smallest part of my index finger into the button so I don't actually touch.
And
it's touch
still,
ID.
You
could just touch the power button, though. FYI.
Yeah, that's not as convenient, though. I mean, if your skin makes any contact with that Touch ID ring, that mofo is unlocking. And you're not going to be able to see your notifications. So you're on the fence. You're not really sure. Leander, what did you think?
I thought it was. I think it's beautiful. I think it's really, really nice.
You're not buying one, are you?
I did. I bought one.
You're kidding.
This morning, yeah.
Wow. But this you just wanted to have one though, so you could check it out.
Well, it's for review purposes, okay. And they got a 14-day no question asked return policy, so we'll see whether I keep it or not.
Grant Leander's back with another return.
But I think I've seen a lot of people, saying it was quote unquote lust worthy. And people
what?
Love that. People love that design. I mean, yeah. It's a classic design. It's.
I think it's a better design than the 6S and 6, right?
It's more distinctive. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. It's a beautiful design for sure. I don't know if I like it more than the 6S.
Well, I just think it's an older design, so that's the only thing. It's not as exciting as like the 6 and 6S.
Well, yeah.
It's a weird choice, isn't it? Because people were saying, why didn't they refresh it, update it? Because, then it would look new.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to an older design is kind of an odd choice, It's
Well, that's kind of one of the reasons why it's like a budget. It's a budget model, right? But, I mean, we're going back to an older design.
Well, I just think it's way easier for manufacturing. I mean, they have 4 years of manufacturing that model under their belt. Maybe even more now.
Right.
Right? So it's just way easier to just keep on pumping new innards into it.
I wonder if there's more to it, though. Yeah, but you're right. Like, because they got all the tooling, I know it's hugely expensive. And then manufacturing phones on a ginormous scale, they've had, hundreds of thousands of machines
mm-hmm.
to do this. And I don't know how configurable they are to newer devices. I wonder whether they're trying to, really trying to, get out all of the investment they made on those machines. The funny thing about the robot, the Liam robot, the one that pulls the phones apart, I'll bet they have robots that put them together.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about all of the final assembly, because I know that a lot of it is automated for sure. The whole unibody process is CNC. I mean, that's a robot lathe.
But the actual assembly of it is all done by human hands.
I'm wondering, because they have these pick and pack robots.
Yeah, I think it just goes through an assembly line, and the workers, they do some things as well themselves. But I'm pretty sure a lot of it is automated too.
It's getting more and more automated, mm-hmm. Every year.
You think it's more so than when we first started, and like Mike Daisy was doing that?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
talking about how the whole thing is just done by humans, and people think it's machines, but it's not.
Yeah, it's. Definitely. I mean, I don't know to what extent, and no one I think has ever, and it hasn't been revealed. No one's looked at it.
Well, remember was it the 6 or 5S and 5 where they had a video talking about they had a robot that would scan and make sure the glass fit exactly like for each case and everything.
Right. Exactly.
So they
have
parts like
right.
that.
Yeah. A lot of it is automated. And you know what? The videos they made for the watch. There was a ton of automation in those videos.
Mm-hmm.
There was almost no, and again, I don't know if they showed the final assembly process, but a lot of the manufacturing was automated. And I know, they're moving towards this. I mean, look at the factories now. I mean, Trump talks about bringing jobs back to America, but they had ABC did a tour of, I think the Tesla factory, wasn't it? And there's hardly a human worker in sight. The human workers tend the robots.
Yeah,
that put these
sure
things
the robot
together.
They walk around with oil cans and oil the joints.
Exactly. Make sure, that's exactly what they do. They keep the robots running. And that industry used to be all human, and now it's hardly any. I don't think very little of the assembly is done by humans anymore.
And the ironic part is once those robots become self-aware, they're going to keep the humans running for their lives. Let's talk about iPad Pro. No surprises in this event, huh? Very few. But I thought some of the surprises that we did get came with the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Who pre-ordered? Anyone pre-order? Well,
Leander did.
We
yeah.
know that. Leander got two.
I didn't. I just got one this morning.
Okay, I was really on the fence. I was thinking to myself, I have the iPad Air 2, and even though the iPad Pro looks great, looks like a compelling iPad, and I want one, it just doesn't really... A lot of the features that they had, I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to use like the 4K video, the 12-megapixel camera, the quote-unquote pro audio system, you know? It looks great, but I'm fine with my iPad. What do you think, Buster?
Oh, I'm definitely getting one, yeah.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ordered one yet?
No, I'll just get it in the stores.
Shoot, now you're making me rethink my...
Oh, dude, I mean, it looks like the best iPad Apple's ever made. I mean,
oh, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
And the display with the True Tone, I don't know if that's going to be as amazing as it looks, but it looks pretty awesome.
Well, that was going to be the one feature that I kind of highlighted when Phil Schiller was talking about it. I was thinking to myself, this actually looks really amazing. If it works as well as he says it does, this is incredible. Because if you're a photographer, one of the biggest problems that you have is you have to keep your screen calibrated so that you can edit photos in different rooms, so that when you edit a photo, when you go to print it, it doesn't look different than you thought it would, right? It needs to look as you expected it to look. And if you're in different, you know, color or different shades of brightness in a room, or the color temperature is different, it can really screw you up. So this thing, for it to be able to calibrate itself, if it's actually accurate, would make itself a really important tool for videographers, for photographers. This could be something that you could take into any environment and show photos to your clients and have them really look good. So this could be a major selling point for the iPad Pro. Plus, it's 25% brighter. It has the same color gamut range as the 5K iMac, so it's much wider than the current iPad Airs. So it looks like a really nice iPad, but as we suspected, it's also more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So which one are you going to go for, Buster?
Well, you have to go with the 128 because you might be able to get by with 32 gigabytes. But if it becomes like a true MacBook replacement for you, you know, you can't live on 32. Yeah.
So you're thinking it might be a MacBook replacement?
In some ways, yeah. Definitely, like, I think my MacBook will stay home a lot more. Once I get instead, I mean, I already just carry my iPad mini and a keyboard around a lot of places to do some work.
Huh.
So with the SE or the iPad Pro, it's just, you know, more screen real estate.
I guess if you're just typing, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's most of the job is typing. So
they did 32 gigabytes for $599, 128 for $749, 256 for $899. Are you going to get the smart keyboard as well?
I'm going to hold off on that and go with like a different Bluetooth keyboard. See
maybe
what I can get.
Maybe a review unit of some kind.
Possibly a review unit of some kind. So I don't have to spend money on an Apple keyboard. But I'll definitely get
the
pencil.
Did they say how much you're going to get the pencil, huh?
Oh, yeah. I think that's
one of the
most interesting features on it is it just brings the pencil to the masses.
Man. But you get the 128, right? It's $749. You get the pencil. How much is the pencil? $99?
Yeah, $99.
Yeah,
you get the smart keyboard, which Lander probably will get.
What, $149 for that?
$149. So. It's like you're looking at over $1,000 now for an iPad. That's kind of tough to swallow, isn't it?
It is. I agree.
Yeah, it's pricey. Yeah, you can drop a lot of cash down at the Apple Store.
Yeah,
make
definitely.
Make a rise order, yeah.
I wonder if people who ordered the bigger iPad Pro are really seriously annoyed with this new machine. Because you got a really beautiful iPad, Lander. But would you have gotten a smaller one if you had the choice, you know, one that was less expensive, that had more power, a better camera, and True Tone display? I mean, you're getting some features here that aren't available on the larger size.
Yeah, I think that display would have been. I think that's the thing that you know, the iPad Pro buyers will have the buyer's remorse about that. But that's the only thing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because you know, it's a bigger screen,
and it's a more power. Processor on the small iPad Pro is underclocked, so it's slower. And then it also has less RAM. So the bigger iPad Pro is more powerful.
That is true, but I mean, the CPU difference is negligible, I think.
You think so?
I was reading it's like a 4% difference in speed. So I don't think it makes that big of a difference.
But the RAM could, though, on multitasking. That's
the RAM might. So the bigger one gets 4 gigs. The smaller one gets 2 gigs. And then one of the things that wasn't immediately obvious is that the smaller version only supports USB 2 speeds. And the larger one does USB 3. So that's another big... If you're a photographer, that's another big one for you because especially with that new camera adapter or the dongle that supports USB,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be able to transfer stuff a lot more quickly on the bigger iPad.
Right.
So that could be a determining factor for you. But you could also, if you wanted to, you could start podcasting on your iPad now, Lander.
Right.
I mean, actually, you couldn't because we need you to record your own audio. So you still can't podcast.
I'll bet there's an app for that for sure.
Well, you'd have to record your own audio and connect to the call somehow. So I don't know. Would you be able to do both at the same time? Maybe you could multitask.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it. Yeah, but yeah, I'll investigate that.
Yeah, you might have to try it out. Just try it out on a show before we've practiced. Just go ahead and just try it. Let's see what happens. Okay. As you often do. Apple Watch, we got new bands, new nylon bands for $50. They look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of money for a nylon band, but hey.
Lewis got one. They're nice.
Are they? They probably are very nice.
It's really nice. Yeah, it's really nice. Really, really nice.
And some of the people in our new Reddit thread, actually, if you haven't joined our Reddit community, the cultcast.reddit.com, somebody was telling me that, you know, we were talking last week about the, I want to call it a Mithril band. What's the watch band with the metal links?
Oh, the Milanese loop. Milanese, yeah.
Thank you. For some reason in my mind, I always think Frodo, and then I think Mithril. They're saying that if you get the Apple Watch version and not some $6 knockoff version, Leander, it actually won't pull your wrist hair out.
Okay. Right. Yeah, but how much does the Apple one? That's a pricey piece of
jewelry. The silver one is $150, and the new black one is $200.
What? That's like $50.
Which is
bucks
almost
more?
The price. Yeah, it's more. Which is almost the price of the Apple Watch now that they've dropped it to $299. You know what I thought was interesting, though, is not a single word on Apple Watch apps. Did you notice that? Tim Cook didn't say anything.
Right, and we have Graham did a really good opinion piece about that today, saying that he thinks there's a pretty big change in strategy for the Apple Watch that was signaled by this, by what
really?
They didn't say, yeah.
Hmm. I mean, because the Apple Watch apps are a phenomenal bust, a big, floppy, in-your-face bust. Would you guys disagree with me on that? I mean, they're awful, and I never use any of them, and I'm wondering if you guys do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, racking my brain now. Which one do I use? Dark Sky, maybe?
Okay.
I'm looking around for my
watch. Use Dark Sky, maybe.
Well, I think because it just sends alerts, you know, so it's not much of an app.
I know. The Apple Watch is just a bad platform for apps. Mm-hmm. The screen is too small. Like, what can you do?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, sending information, isn't it? You know, oh, you know what, the Spark email one ain't bad at all.
Okay.
You know, it's constantly sending a little. You know, it sends you the head of the subject line of the email and the sender. It works fine. I've used Shazam. That's okay.
Oh, I haven't tried that one yet.
I got an app that changes the lights in my mood lighting.
Hmm.
From bad mood to even worse mood. And the messaging app, you know, I use that quite a lot, actually, but, you know, I dictate messages using Siri, but that's an Apple built-in one.
Right. And I use a few apps as well. I mean, I'm not saying there are none that are useful. I'm just saying, you know, overall, most of them are not useful, at least the ones that I've seen. And out of the entire app store, I mean, look at how many apps you use on your iPhone and how many are useful and you feel like you use day to day, and then how many you use on your Apple Watch, it's just like,
definitely.
Hardly any.
Right, true.
So did he say like what strategy he thinks Apple might be going for?
Well, he thinks it's a tacit admission that the whole thing sucks and it's back to, you know, basics, which is like notifications and health. They're not, you know, they're going to dial it back. They're not going to, they're not going to use, you know, they're not going to try and promote the Apple as a, you know, a pretty sort of comprehensive platform for apps. It's going to be back to basics: notifications, time, health.
Hmm.
Do you think if Steve Jobs were among us, he would just totally scratch the Apple Watch?
No, because I think it's a really I think it's going to be a mainstream computing platform for sure. And I think you know, I mean, there was a story last week that it'll recognize heart attacks. I think it's going to be an essential health device for a lot of people.
It will be cool once they get HomeKit working too. Like, there are a lot, I feel like there's a lot of potential in the Apple Watch. There's just not a whole lot of delivery at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all the health stuff that you mentioned all sounds really cool. If they can get it working and people actually will spend the money to use, to buy an Apple Watch to use for those features, great. But as far as like everyday utility, I mean, still to this day, people laugh at me when they're like, "What do you love about the Apple Watch?" I'm like, "Well, it's a great watch." And they always snicker at me. Right.
I know, because it seems so ridiculous. But I'm seeing a lot of people with the Apple Watch on now, seeing more and more of them in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you see, like Graham has gone really crazy for his. He's a fitness fanatic who lives in the UK, and he was supposed to be writing his. He's an Apple developer, so he was going to be writing a column about, you know, the joys and trials of being a developer. But he wrote about two columns on that, and then he started writing about the Apple Watch. And a lot of them are being really critical about, you know, how it's not good for this and it's not good for that and why it's like this and why it's like that. And he's a little bit of advice about using it for health and fitness, but a lot of it has been, you know, like, here's all the shortcomings about it. But he's really dug into it, you know. Like, in fact, his column last week was 101 different, you know, types of drawings, doodles, sketches you can send to other. Do you even remember that they had that feature? You know, that you can send
I forgot about that. Yeah, I saw that piece on Cold to Mac actually, and I was like, "Oh, cool!" Right.
He's obsessed with the thing, you know, like he's totally obsessed with the Apple Watch. But he's actually quite, you know, I think optimistic about what it might turn into.
I mean, the sketching thing is really cool. The heartbeat thing is pretty cool. But you do that a couple times, and it's like, okay, the novelty wears off.
Yeah, you know? I totally forgot about it.
How many sketches of wieners can you send to Buster? <You're> like, okay. Right. It's like, okay, tired about that. I mean, you know, I can send them in different colors now. That's cool. But and the heartbeat thing. It's like the only people I know with Apple Watches are dudes. It's like, how many dudes do you want to send your heartbeat to? Right.
It's totally strange when you first get it, isn't it? It's really unsettling.
Yeah, it is very strange. I completely forgot about all those features, too. I forgot they were even there. Okay, let's wrap up with Apple TV. Did you guys update your Apple TVs?
Oh, I still haven't done that yet.
Oh, man. So this is actually pretty cool. They updated it with dictation. You get Siri for the App Store now, so you can just ask for different apps. iCloud Photo Library, which is cool. The Live Photos is great to have on your television. Oh, folders. Now, once they announced this, Apple stock price went up 3% because people were so excited about Apple TV folders.
Yeah.
Although it is quite useful. But I will say this. The dictation works for passwords now. Leander, did you update your Apple TV?
I did, but then I haven't looked at it since.
Okay, so the next time you try to, well, next time you have to enter in your password, it will give you the option of using dictation to just, you know, speak your password letter or number at a time. And this solves one of my biggest gripes about the Apple TV is that you have to, you know, like scroll with that trackpad to like click letters and numbers, which sucks. That experience truly sucks. And then they replaced it, or they updated it with being able to type on your iPhone. But now you have to get your iPhone out and connect with the app and type stuff out. And it's like, that's not the best experience either, because it takes too long. So now you can speak into your Apple TV and actually get some work done. And it's a much better device now. I feel like it's finally feeling like a generation one device. Like, this is what it should have been like when they shipped it. But
right, get some work done. Yeah.
But you know, the folders, clearly the biggest takeaway from
people seem generally excited about that, which is completely mystifying.
Really? Yeah, I was like, who cares? I was like, because Peter Griffith, like, oh my gosh, who cares?
The Apple TV home screen, like, just organization is always just messy. It's always just, here's, you know, an infinite number of icons to scroll through and find the one you want. So.
Yeah, it's true. But it's a good reminder of all the apps that you use twice and will never use again. They should have like a gravestone at the very top. This is your Apple TV app graveyard. Okay, well, before I go off on any more tangents, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Oh my gosh, I want to give a shout out to iRichard1137 on Reddit. He's part of our new Reddit community, and we hope you will be too. Head on over to thecultcast.reddit.com. Come join the conversation. We're having so much fun there. You might even get a shout out on the show. How much fun would that be? You can tell your boyfriends about it. Come hang out with us on Twitter. Buzzers BST3R, Leander's L. Caney. I'm at Arifon. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys at thecultcast.reddit.com. I'll be there.
I'm already there.
Are you there right now?
I was earlier, yeah.
Oh, Buster, you should come hang out with us.
Okay.
Maybe you are. Maybe you are, actually.
I was lurking, though. I didn't see
it. Because you can't give away your Reddit username, right?
All right.
I mean, it's like the worst thing you can do, because we'll all be able to see what you're up to. What's going on with you, Buster?
What?
What's going on?
Nothing. Just watching these Star Wars deleted scenes.
I was going to watch those later.
Oh, yeah.
How are they?
There's not really that much there. I mean, it's like a short little clips.
Is it like, oh, yeah, this is why they got deleted? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you watch the deleted scenes from movies, you watch them, and then you're like, oftentimes I'm excited for that stuff because I want to see as much content as possible. And then I watch it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, this is why they deleted this.
Yeah.
It's just not good. It made the movie an hour too long.
Yeah, that's how I felt with Batman versus Superman. It was a lot of scenes that they should have left deleted.
You mean like all of them?
Yeah. Yeah, right. That was 2.5 hours too long, wasn't it, that movie?
Yeah. Jeez.